Second Nephi, chapter 33. In the first verse, Nephi says that there were many more things that were spoken here that he didn't record. And so therefore, I feel now compelled that I will go ahead and explain the thing of the previous chapter, and that has to do with the speaking of the tongue of angels, of what is it. And once a person hears this, they will know exactly that is what the speaking of tongue of angels is. First of all, we have to ask ourselves, what do the angels speak of? And we are told that they sing ceaseless praises unto to the Father and the Son, and the Father because of this marvelous plan that is totally for the benefit of man and to bring about their eternal happiness, and to the Son who, because of his great love for man, gave everything he had for man, and everything was pointed towards us. As we begin to understand and see this, then we too agree with the angels, and we see nothing but the goodness and the love of God and of the Son. And then at that time, words begin difficult to express this. There's two things here. First, we don't have the words to express this this love and this goodness of God. And so the only way we can do that is to speak in the tongue of the angels who know how to express that. And second, because we are now in unison with heaven and understand the wonderfulness of heaven, meaning that in heaven the great thing is the love of God and how it flows and how we see his love for us and how we want to have that same love and how we enjoy that love. And so when we become in unison with that, then indeed we can also become in unison with the tongue that's being spoken on the other side of the veil. And so that's the general idea of what it means to speak in tongues. Again, it's the reason this is not exactly revealed is because the Lord doesn't like to speak that, because this is the significant and important feeling of heaven, and men will set that at naught. And many that heard this immediately say, "Oh, is that all? Or that's nice," you know. And they don't want to take the they set it at naught, just as we'll see in the other parts of this chapter. It's sad in Nephi because everyone took the Book of Mormon for naught. We do have one piece of doctrine that we need to cover, I guess, in the first verse, and it says that that you speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that when you speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, then others receive by the power of the Holy Ghost, and this is the way that we communicate, and this is the way that we are supposed to communicate. But it's sad that today men tell us not to do that, and that our leaders do not lead us astray, and so that we're just to listen to whatever they say and we're to do it. And that just isn't the way, and that's not the way God communicates. As here he says, he communicates by the Holy Ghost, and you are to receive by the Holy Ghost, and the man is to speak by the Holy Ghost. And that is his form of communication, and that is all. The sad thing is that even as I speak these things, Nephi could feel the sadness that most would not receive the Book of Mormon, or that even those that did receive it would set most of the things here at naught. And I know that as people listen to this commentary, the vast majority would just say, "Oh, this just sounds like it's anti-church and it's against what's going on today." And well, that is the word of the Book of Mormon, and it does condemn the people of the last days and men throughout time because they can't keep their eyes single to God. And I know that those who will not receive this commentary will not receive the Book of Mormon, for this is what the Book of Mormon says, and this is the very intent of the Book of Mormon, is to express the same thing that I've expressed in the commentary. And I know that the Book of Mormon is great worth, and that's the reason I speak as I do, because I study it with great degree, and I know the worth of it is as it is expressed in the third verse. Mostly, man will do as it says here. They will set it at naught, and they will not investigate it, and they will not take it literally, nor want to bring it into their lives. And as many do not like this commentary, nor do they like the plainness of the Book of Mormon, and they want to focus on the other aspects of the Book of Mormon, then I say unto you that then verse 5 applies to you, and that it says that no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I seal that, and no man will be angry at these words of the Book of Mormon. No, they will be angry at the words of my commentary. And Nephi felt somewhat saddened, and so do I, as I feel very akin to verses 6 to 10, and I repeat his words to you, that the reason I give this commentary is because I'm constrained by the Spirit to do so, and that I do it each day, making this under the Spirit of Christ. And I do it because I love Christ, and then as I do the commentary, I grow closer to Christ, and I enjoy that, and that's my goal in life, and that's what I desire to do. and I do love you, and my only desire is to point you in the direction of Christ and to encourage you to seek Him, to learn what He has for you. And I say to you, as in 11, as Nephi said, if my commentary is not of Christ, then ask Christ. And I suggest that you also finish this chapter by reading verses 11 through 15 yourself. This is Nephi's farewell. And if you believe the Book of Mormon to be true, then you believe that Nephi was a real man, that he is up in heaven looking down right now, and that you can feel his words, and that they are real. And he has had a great opportunity that other men haven't had in being able to leave his words for others. And this is his farewell. And if you do believe that this is literal, then he is a literal man. And when you go to heaven, you will be able to see him, as he says here, and talk with him and chat with him. And that would be an enjoyable thing to do. And so therefore, try reading verses 11 through 15 literally.